Well, before, before we turn to God's word together, just wanted to pause for a moment and just ask you, we say often in churches, and whether you're regular or not, we expect, don't we, someone to say, in a word, God is love. And we thought about this at base camp last week. I wonder what you think when you think of God's love. And when we do that, I wonder what you think God's posture is towards you. If it's not sort of inappropriate, but if you were to just think, what is God looking like and standing like or sitting like in the heavenly realms as he sees you? Arms folded, arms wide, frowning, smiling. I wonder what you think he feels about you. And I wonder what you think that same God feels about those who we feel rather less inclined to love. What do you think he feels about you? What do you think he feels about them? Well, in today's Bible reading, Jesus wants us to listen and learn as he teaches how much he loves the lost. He longs for us to really feel how he really feels about us. And just before Duncan comes and read it, I'd love to invite the children up the front. We'll get them out their seats. You've sat well. Children, if you're a school child or preschool, do come and join me. Just a bit of a Q&A at the front to get us going. Stretch your legs. I'll send you back to your seats in a moment. Come on, who's going to be brave? Otto, you're feeling brave. Come and have a seat. Come and sit right before me. Great. Everyone's got their summer clothes ready. The mad dash to the loft, if you've got a loft, from going from winter clothes to summer clothes in about a 6-hour window. Good to see you. Come and join us. Come on. Yeah, don't be shy. Great to have you. Now, guys, I've got a question. Who is pleased it's half term? Yes. A few hands up. Isn't it great? Some time off school or nursery. Now I've got another question. Have you got a special toy or teddy, like your most favourite teddy? Yeah. You have? Yeah? You have as well? A few of us have got a special teddy, the one we always sleep better with. Have you ever lost it?
Yeah.
No. Wow, that is a special teddy. Not going to leave your sight. But one or two said they have. It's really small. Okay, it's easily lost maybe. How did you feel when you lost it?
Sad.
Really sad? Did you find it again?
Yes.
And you found it again. How did you feel when you found it?
Happy.
Really happy? Over the moon. I bet you made sure you haven't. Have you lost it again?
No.
No, exactly. You felt really sad. Then you felt really happy and you are not going to lose it again. Oh, well done. Now, grown-ups, same question. We all know what it is. Maybe not so much with a teddy if you have one. We know what it is, don't we, to lose our keys. The hunt is necessary. But that's not what we're talking about here. What about something a little bit more personal, sentimental, special? Car keys are just really annoying if you can't find those. What about something that you really treasure? It's easier with Kate not here this morning. She knows that I lost my wedding ring on the first day of our honeymoon. And I tore the honeymoon suite. I literally tore the furniture off the walls. I had to go and speak to reception. I found it, and I have not lost it since. I haven't, but I very nearly thought about having it super glued on. I lost a child in Costco. See, we haven't all done it, but I have. I almost called in the SAS to try and find that child. It sort of went from, they're probably somewhere, to, they're not here, to man the doors. I grabbed the tannoy myself because I couldn't find a member of staff. Well, the Bible says everyone, everywhere is lost, whether it's the cuddly toy we lose, the wedding ring, or the child. By the way, the child was found, just to be sure. The Bible says we're all lost. But Jesus loves us so much that he searches, he saves, and he celebrates when we're found and come home. So I want us to try and remember that, okay? Jesus loves us so much. Let's do this with a few actions. There might be some pictures later on in the service as well to help us for the visual learners. He searches, binoculars, can you do that? Or maybe think Google search. Searches. He saves. You could either be thinking amazing goalkeeper or the cross. Yeah, there, we're going to look at that picture later on with some of the sheep on the back. And he celebrates. Woohoo! Arms in the air, yeah. So, there you go. The A, Arsenal. That was, how did that sneak in there? Okay, so God searches, saves, and celebrates when we go home. That is what we're going to think about a little bit more. So, guys, I want you to go back to your seats, to find a Bible. That's the red books here, a little bit like that one. Find a Bible with your grown-ups and look up the page number. Grown-ups, help them read, especially the readers. Get their noses in. If they're not yet reading, just get them in the habit. Go and find your grown-ups, and we're going to read God's Word together. Okay, well done. Back to your seats. As you do that, grown-ups, look for a Bible, and Duncan's going to come. And when he sees us, when he hears silence rather than the shuffling of pages, he'll know to begin.
So I'll be reading from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 7, which is page 1048 in the Red Bibles. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. This is the word of the Lord.
Great, Duncan. Thank you so much. Keep it open. We're going to look at it together. All age together, is my mic on? There we go. Brilliant. So let's see if we can remember in a word. We're going to look at those words, but in a sentence. Jesus loves us so much that he searches, saves, and celebrates when anyone gets taken home. Okay, now, here's what's going on. Jesus, he's having dinner. Everyone loves a bit of dinner. But he's having dinner with bad people. Think of the naughtiest person in your school. Maybe it's you. And I'm sure not. But imagine that person who you're thinking of right now, the one in your class or on the playground who you just don't like. They're naughty. You know they're trouble. Imagine that person going up and sitting with Jesus at lunch. Everyone is asking, why doesn't Jesus tell them to get lost? Why doesn't he ask them to go and sit somewhere else? He shouldn't be seen sitting with them. He should be sitting with nice people like us. Now, grown-ups, I'm going to be guarded in how I put this, given the context of our gathering. But the original setting here in Luke 15, it indicates Jesus sitting and eating with those for whom in their society were the most scandalous. So don't just think, oh, tax collectors, we don't like HMRC either. That's not what's going on. Tax collectors and, euphemistically, sinners will have our equivalents. Those we all agree in the room are the most unsavory and must be the most unsavable. As in those in our culture and society, we would, of course, be asking, actually, what sort of man is Jesus if that's the kind of company he keeps? We may even go further. Do I want to be seen with Jesus if that's the kind of company he keeps? That's the setting. The worst of the worst are drawn to Jesus, and the atmosphere is tense with everyone watching. And then Jesus shares this very simple story about a shepherd. There's all sorts of Ezekiel fulfillment going on. If it's familiar, we'll look at it more, as I say, when Ilho preaches the passage. But he longs for them there and then to understand what his love is really like. And it's wonderful. Okay, so verse 4, guys, let's look down. If you're a reader, let's have grown-ups do help your children. Verse 4, Jesus says, imagine you're a shepherd with 100 sheep. Maybe a bit like this, a field full of cartoon sheep. Even more than that, 100. How many sheep? 100, well done. Now, every day is a school day, because Jesus then says, you lose one. How many left? 99, well done. My favourite ice cream, okay? So you lose one, you've got 99 left. Now, you might think that the shepherd says, I've got 99 more. It's okay. It happens. But he loves his lost sheep. And it's clear from what Jesus says, we're told he searches everywhere for it. He leaves the 99 where he knows he's got them safe and searches for the lost one. And then verse 5, what happens? He tells us he finds it. Now again, we're the shepherd. We've gone searching the hills, valleys, highways and byways. But when the shepherd finds the sheep, he doesn't say, oh, phew, glad you're okay. And he doesn't say, oh, you silly sheep, what have you done? Come on, keep up, let's try again, and off we go. Follow me. No, he looks at the lost sheep, and he sees that it needs to be brought safely home and does everything necessary. So he saves it. And I think we'll have a picture. He searches, he saves. Here we've got a picture of a shepherd. This is what Jesus says this shepherd in this story does. He does what's necessary. He puts it on his back. No way he's losing it again. He will only put it down when he gets it home on the farm. He picks it up. He carries it home. He's not letting anything happen to this sheep again. It will not get lost again. He does everything necessary. And the sheep, well, it just simply sits there, enjoys the ride until it's home. Now, knowing that's what the shepherd does, how do we think the shepherd feels about that sheep? Any ideas? Really pleased to have it home. Yeah, he loves that sheep. Thanks, Lloyd. He loves that sheep. So he searches and he saves. And then when he gets it home, would someone else, lots of my voice, say, look down at verse 6. Who's feeling brave? Who could read out verse 6? Young or old, we're all aged this morning. Anyone want to just read it out? Just shout out. We'll stick a hand up and I'll listen out. Oh, Quentin's down the front. Brilliant. In fact, Quentin, let's do this. Verse 6.
And goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbours to gather and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.
Thank you very much. So, he goes home and he says, rejoice with me. Posh words for, he celebrates. He throws a massive party. He is over the moon to have you might have thought the friends and neighbours thinking, he had 99 others. He is so delighted to have that sheep home again. He sums it all up, doesn't he, in verse 7, grown-ups. He says, do you see, this is how all of heaven celebrates when one sinner is saved and brought home. Is that what you picture heaven doing? When a sinner is saved? See, obviously, and Jesus makes it plain, as I say, the context packs a punch. The Pharisees, who are supposed to be the teachers and shepherds, they're there to trip him up. We've seen that in Mark's gospel. But he splits the room. He wants us to see we are that lost sheep in the story. Our sin leaves us lost,
far from Jesus. But he loves us so much that he searches, saves, and celebrates. And in fact, he says it's not just a little private party for one. All heaven, which I can barely picture. Scripture gives us an idea. Maybe Revelation's our best bet. All heaven in all its glory throws a party. And whether you're someone who likes parties or not, I'm quietly assured that's a party that is worth seeing and being part of. When any sinner trusts Jesus as Savior, isn't it astonishing that he doesn't say at that moment of trust, well, you better be grateful. The lengths I've gone to get you. And he doesn't say, well, I've done my bit. You do your bit. And he doesn't say, you better earn this. No, he says it's like being picked up like a sheep that's otherwise a goner on the mountaintop. Sticks on his back and says, I will get you home. And the party starts. Because Jesus loves us so much that he searches, saves, and celebrates. All heaven celebrates when he takes us home. So friends, as we just draw these simple truths, but hopefully profound if we pause long enough, picture the posture from where we started, the posture of Jesus towards you this morning. A divine party. That is the joy of heaven over each and every sinner the Lord saves. It's astonishing. This is his love for the lost. His love for you, for me. I was thinking as we go out into this week, bank holiday Monday, time off school, the routine's changed. But if we just hold on to that thought this week, this is how he feels about me. That really helps put some perspective on things, I think. It's helped me thinking about it. Because life is difficult, isn't it? When we start to fear children, we know what it's like. You've got a break from school, but school can be hard. Life can be difficult. Whether at primary school, learning the sharp end of the playground, whether you're a big school and the middle of exams and all those dynamics with new friends, whether you're older still, and we just know what it is to fear, to feel helpless, to be anxious and overwhelmed. The stresses of life in our 20s just change for our 30s, 40s, 50s. It's just a new chapter, isn't it? It's hard. And the Lord says in chapter 15 of Luke, but please be sure that I love you. I've done everything necessary to get you home. And you're staying there and celebrate, and we're celebrating. When we're doubtful, let's just read Luke 15 and feel the reassurance of God's love. But also, I think, remembering the context, when we look at others and dangerously say to ourselves, well, of course he loves me, but he couldn't possibly love them. Well, let's read Luke 15, 1-7, and feel the rebuke that yes, he really does. And when the depth of that love sinks in, would that spur us on to go out with his message to the lost and reassure them, even if they are those whom our society would consider unsavory and unsavable, there is a God who loves them so much that he will always search, save, and celebrate for each and every one who comes home. Let's pray as we close. Loving Father, we thank and praise you for Jesus longing to help us see the depth of your love for us. Please, Lord, help us to picture in our mind's eye these words, if you like, on your face. Heaven celebrating for each and every sinner whom the Lord has saved. Thank you, Lord, that there is nothing we contribute. We're like a sheep, helpless, picked up, put on the back of the shepherd and brought home, and only once home, put down, and only then so that we would just join the celebration. Lord, we're sorry when we think we are prompted, feeling we have to earn your love. All those times where we think we are more lovable than others who are still lost. Lord, we pray you'd help us to spur each other on to just simply know and feel your love and to share it with others, that each and every person who responds would simply see the depth of your love as seen in Jesus on his cross and know what it is for you to celebrate over them. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.